Siete sintonizzati direttamente con David Lee Roth. Che ne dici di un po' di fuoco, spaventapasseri? You're tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, Scarecrow?
Second, Brian. It's Roth Radio, baby. No, it isn't. It's Tom Jones first thing in the morning. Turn it back up. Roth Radio. That sounds lively, right? That sounds like breakfast cereal would sound if it made music.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Breakfast cereal would sound like Tom Jones first thing in the morning, wouldn't it? The breakfast cereal I was raised on, and it turns out here the minor nods that Kellogg has made towards, hey, I'm David Lee Roth. My sister, Lisa Roth, how are you this morning, Lisa?
I'm very well.
Animal, how about yourself?
All right, how you doing this
morning? Excellent, Hutch, you're right on your game this morning. And Brian, what's cooking, baby? Oh, yeah, Roth Radio. But unlike minor nods that Kellogg has made towards more healthful children's projects, reduced sugar versions of Frosted Flakes and Fruit Loops, and a whole grain toddler cereal have flopped at retail. Lisa, are you surprised?
No, I'm not. But they mentioned one of your favorite cereals when you were a kid.
Yeah, but up at the top where all the bad stuff is. How Kellogg ignored warning signs of food lawsuit. Okay. But unlike Kraft Foods, PepsiCo and other would-be defendants would shout out almost daily about proactive changes to their blah, blah, blah. Kellogg has seemingly ignored warning signs that the growing chatter over childhood obesity would lead down a path to litigation. Kellogg has stood by its existing products and strategies and made few changes to adapt to the newly nutrition-minded world. Do you think the world is even nutrition-minded, or is it just those in the ivory towers and those behind the word processors?
Not even them. This is my topic. You know that.
Okay, so what do you think's going on here? Is that because they've stood their ground and they're still selling as much as they possibly could, right?
Well, my question is, how is that packaged? Do they have, like, is there a big disclaimer on it? Half the sugar, half the... What's the story? Do you know?
Oh, on the other stuff, obviously, they're going to promote it like that. You know, it's half the stuff and, you know, frosted whole grain toddler cereal. I'm not even sure that that would go in one sentence. Would you even say that in one sentence? Would you feed your toddler something that says whole grain anything? Is there a little gullet big enough for anything whole? No, I'm serious. You wouldn't even think of it like that. And anything with toddler, I don't want on it.
I just think people are afraid of change.
Of a change of what? Change of diet?
Familiarity. They want what's familiar.
Even if it's bad for you.
Even if it's bad for you.
Because I can totally relate to that.
Me too.
I understand here that there's a new effort to glamorize cigarettes that are launched here. The image of cigarette smokers has fallen a long way from the days of Bogey, Bacall, and the smoking jacket. And in many cities, they've been tossed out of offices and bars and could be seen huddling. I maintain that's a whole voter block. Have you seen us? I smoke occasionally, and it's a voter block that now populates every cool doorway in the city, especially inner city. You go down New York City, and in front of every cool bar, every cool restaurant, is a whole subgroup of people. What do you think?
I think you're right. That's what I think.
Well, it's become
but continue with the story.
Well, it's become a community, and it says, in doorways on cold days, nicotine-stained masses, bumming lights, taking drags, and tossing their butts into the street. This is obviously a non-smoker. Now, in a controversial bid to revive the romance of the habit, it has a new, R.J. Reynolds has a new Chicago smoking lounge. Critics fear could set a brazen tone for a new phase in the marketing of a product. So are they saying you just should not advertise tobacco because it's bad for you? Because I'm going to go with that. One of the things that I don't even regret most of my regrets. If you've had your third latte this morning, you understand what I'm saying here. But the one regret I have is that I actually started smoking at an early age.
And I know this to be true.
And the other side of the regret is that none of my favorite music, none of my favorite books could have been written in a smoke-free environment. I maintain none of my favorite jazz music, none of my favorite dead old blues guys could have existed in a smoke-free environment. I don't think any of my great favorite movies, script-wise, could have been written or edited in a smoke-free environment. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, why is it? Are you saying it's because of the drug aspect or the whole atmosphere it creates?
Both. It's going to be because there is the atmosphere, you know, especially if you grew up around that, the idea of slow smoke in the air, especially if it's black and white film or, you know, you see it in the movies. For me, it was James Bond smoking Rothman King Size in the blue and white pack. Mm-hmm. For many, it was Bogey and Bacall, like they say right here. If you watch the movie Casablanca, it's an astonishing amount of tobacco is consumed. Well, how long is the movie? About an hour and it's a 90-minute movie. And they must consume 700,000 cigarettes in there. Virtually every single person in the picture is smoking those cool non-filter Camels. There's cool non-filter Lucky Strikes.
Yes, it's visually seductive, the way the smoke swirls above their head and makes the smoky room. It's, yeah, very seductive.
You tie it into what's happening on the screen, and it becomes a lifestyle issue. It becomes something that is romantic, something especially with the girls involved. You see those hot babes, it doesn't even occur to you that those were specially selected babes who may not even have owned those teeth. Those teeth came from somewhere. They may not actually smoke. We're going to talk about teeth later. You're going to see how I dovetail that. No, you're going to think I'm a genius. But they're talking about making smoking lounges, kind of like, well, I'd prefer to think of it as opium dens.
But that's what I pictured.
Well, cigarettes is cigarettes. Tobacco is not only a ritual, but it's a drug.
Yes, it is.
And you know that when you take a hit or two off of a cigarette, that you're going to get that what they called in the 60s a refreshed feeling, right?
Is that what they called it?
I think so. Like when you smoked Kent's, it refreshed you, or it. What were the ads in the early 60s?
Is that a 60s way of saying it hyped you up?
It livelied you up. Remember when soda pop was refreshing or made you feel lively? For those who think young, what did that mean? That was like 7-Up or something. What does it mean to think young? It means to flood your body with white sugar and get that, get all those dopamines and endorphins going. Hey, spring break, dude. I understand that. Roth Radio, we're having breakfast. David Lee Roth at your service. My sister Lisa.
Good morning.
What did you have for breakfast?
I haven't had breakfast yet, actually, which is, you know, that, yeah.
Animal, what did you have for breakfast?
Oh, I hadn't had breakfast yet either. I'm just waiting and stuff.
It sounds like his microphone is fizzling out.
Is it fizzling out?
Oh, it totally is. He's got distortion or whatever. See if you can fix that, guys. Yeah, courtesy of Infinity CBS, whatever, whoever.
You know, go ahead.
You.
No, you. I had a cigarette. You. No. Your mayor is... Your mayor of New York is planning to raise the tax on cigarettes. Did you know that?
Well, first, I'm the drunk who won the lottery. You know, when you raise the tax on cigarettes or booze, it's not something that terribly impacts my wallet.
Well, their hope is that...
it impacts a lot of people's wallets.
Their hope is that it will dissuade people from smoking.
It probably will. Not just that, but the cumulative value of it is going to make it for the next generations. And I think that's what he's aiming at. It's the same reason they stopped walking children past the slot machines in Las Vegas. Is that, there are generations like myself who were raised on this, that saw it on the television, saw it in the movies, etc. And it's very much a part of rock and roll. Come on. What's more rock and roll than Keith Richards with a stack of 3 Marlboro packs and 2 of those cool gold Zippo lighters, the brass ones that go chink, right? You become a pirate like that, or who's the gypsy Django Reinhardt, the gypsy guitar player?
Right.
You know, he chain smoked himself to death. He smoked Giton. To this day, that's the most popular cigarette in probably the second half of the world. I'm not sure who the first half is, but if you speak French throughout Europe, throughout African continent, throughout Southeast Asia, you smoke Giton, which is slang for gypsy. And it's got a picture on the side. It's a silhouette of Django Reinhardt, the gypsy, with that cool kind of a Sinatra-like fedora hat. And he's got that thing. He's smoking. That was his famous picture. He was never taken a picture without a cigarette. Jimi Hendrix with the picture, with the, the cigarette sticking on the end of the string, on the end of the guitar, right? And it smokes away. Eddie Van Halen, same routine, right? Brian used to do it, and then the cigarette would fall off on the stage and sit there burning like an improvised explosive device, and everybody would be watching to see what was going on with the cigarette butt.
Well, what makes you smoke? What conditions? Because you don't smoke much.
No, not much at all. And I smoke where there's alcohol involved. You know, I can smoke where there's...
What do you mean, alcohol involved?
Something happens to me when I'm drinking. If I'm having a beer, or I never have just one beer, but if I'm going to sit down, we're going to have a shot of Jack Daniels or something, then something kicks in with my chemistry that, I don't know, maybe I slow down.
A lot of people say that, though. What do you think it is with alcohol?
For me, mostly right off the bat, it's ritual. It's, you know, it's a tribal thing. You come in and... Everybody smokes or everybody passes cigarettes around. And this happens at the highest levels of government, and it happens at the lowest levels of prison. You know, try and find the, you know, you're thinking that's not much of a conceptual leap there. Animal, what's up?
The most experience I ever had doing bodyguard work with cigarettes was with Slash, man. It's like I had to have like a carton a day with me. This guy, I've never seen him without a cigarette in his mouth.
How many packs a day do you think Slash smoked?
At least 5, man. At least. But I don't know about now because he's trying to be healthy now. But back in the day.
Stop. I just saw him on the European MTV Awards or the European Grammy equivalents or whatever it was. And he walked up at the dais, was standing there, I think it was some fashion model or whatever. This is in England, London, England. And he stands up and he fires up a cigarette.
That's
on
him.
On camera right there, you know. And they went to a commercial. When they came back, the cigarette was gone. But he couldn't even wait that long.
Because, you know, in Japan, you know, they don't like for you to smoke on stage. But, you know, they had these two little guys on the side of the stage with buckets of water. Every time Slash light a cigarette and you put it out on the floor, these little guys will run out, grab a cigarette, put it in the bucket, and they'll take off and stuff. At one time, you know, I thought they was, you know, like groupies running up on the stage. I'm like, who's these little guys? See, they like their little fire department around here or something, man.
Are you sure they weren't waiting to throw water on the drum solo?
I'm pretty sure they probably may have been, man, but it was kind of funny to me, man.
It's curious, too, that Japan chain smokes insistently. Yeah. You see cigarette vending machines and everything
everywhere.
On the street corners everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah. You see them on every single street corner. You also see alcohol. You see bottled wine coming out of the same vending machines. You see beer is vended out of there. And the energy drinks, all the Red Bull and everything. I'm still a little buzzed from yesterday's breakfast. That's why I'm... Yeah, I was gonna have a bowl of cereal and smoke a cigarette like an American, and now I read this. Go ahead, Brian. Play a little guitar. All right, bring it down. See. Actually, I got a thing here about vending machines offering plenty in Japan. Vending machines usually bring to mind canned soft drinks and cigarettes. But in Japan, recently they've started to change, offering such things as a dish including slices of boiled radish, balls of processed fish, and hard-boiled eggs and sushi. A vending machine in Akihabara, the electronic appliance quarter, is one of these special machines. So they're actually just serving the lunch completely. A can of Oden includes beef sinew. That's an extra 50 yen. Beef sinew. That sounds like a wrestler. Didn't we just advertise that for WWE... He's fighting John Cena later tonight, if I'm not mistaken. I may be intentionally mistaken. It's purely for theatrical value. What is beef sinew? Do you know what that is, Lise?
Well, when you're talking about...
And don't say it's a cow derivative. What is it?
I don't know what it is, but when you're talking about sinew,
yeah.
Isn't that... What is that?
That's just
that's
what holds...
familiar.
It's what holds the muscle onto the bone.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you're eating fascia.
Yeah, it's just something to chew on. There's not a whole lot there, is it? That's just...
Wait, what's it called again? The whole...
Oden. A can of Oden, including beef sinew, cost an extra 50 cents. Okay, basically, this is oil.
So it's no different than menudo, maybe, or something. The lining of something.
Yeah, but is there any kind of nutritional content to that? Is there actual nutritional content to the soup menudo, which is heralded worldwide as the all-time Latino cure for, I was about to say Latino cure for hangovers. That's soup that's eaten for breakfast routinely.
Correct.
In California, Mexico, etc. Is there any value to that?
I can't recall what else they put into it. The actual lining, isn't that the lining of the intestine that they use?
They do that in Scotland. What is that, haggis? Something like that? You know, that's sausage. That's a traditional...
No, that's a stomach thing, isn't it?
No, that's a country. Wake up, kid. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Roth Family Breakfast. My very, very special guest. And my sister, Lisa Roth. I'm not myself.
Don't hold it against me.
I'm not myself this morning, but who is? Animal, what did you what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, nothing yet, man. I can't wait to 7 o'clock, man. I need something.
What happens at 7 o'clock?
Oh, we do a little breakfast run around.
Do you have some udon with beef sinew?
I don't think I want to mess with that one.
No, what about the idea of it coming out of a vending machine?
Yeah, that's the perfect.
I kind of like to see my meals cooked, or I like to see the refrigerator or the hot stove they came from.
Yeah, what's the temperature on those machines, Dave? Because it's got to be kind
of... Jesus, Dave, don't bring it up if you don't know the details.
Let me just reach on and... Holy mackerel! No, you got a good point. Because they're going to have to freeze dry everything, or they're going to have to make it like incandescent. What do you call that when they have the meals ready to eat from... the MREs that the Army eats out of, and they call it meals ready to eat. Two lies for the price of one, because it ain't a meal and it ain't ready to eat. Mm-hmm. Or they call it meals ready to exit. Go ahead.
I was just given a little message here that those same vending machines will soon be able to check ID for purchasing cigarettes. When there are earthquakes, they will give out drinks for free. Only in Japan.
So it's going to have like a an earthquakeometer. What do you call that? A seismometer. That's what it's actually called.
Yeah.
Oh, it really is.
But wait, David, what did you have for breakfast?
I juiced this morning. Oh, yeah. I juiced a Chrysler aluminum block engine with an Edelbrock header and an Iskenderian full race overhead cam. Boom. I got it all without my gullet, and I'm ready for some Brazilian jiu-jitsu, sis. Not with you.
Okay, now... That said,
you don't want to eat what I eat.
I want to know what you had for breakfast.
My stuff is really, really boring. I eat enough oatmeal plain with just water, just kind of microwave it up like that. I eat up about enough to fill animal's hat size. What would that be, a half a gallon? And then I eat about 5 egg whites with just a little enough yolk to give it just a little taste, right? Not much. Maybe a third of one egg yolk goes in there. And if you put it in just right, it looks like what they do in the top of the coffee cup at Starbucks, which I also don't eat for breakfast. And then I have like a piece of fruit or something. Really basic. Like either a banana or an apple. In fact, that's all. Because anything else sends me over to the top, I start talking really fast. Seriously, this is regular. I told you I was going to keep it real on this show. You know I'm not BSing.
And that's what you have every morning.
Exactly. Every single morning. Unless it's, unless I need a little supplement, which in my religion means a toasted bagel with a little bit of lox.
And you need that when you need a little extra.
Just a little bump. Just a little tie off, a little slap. Get you right up over the hurdle there. That's the extra.
It's because it has a little extra fat.
It's got something. Because what I eat normally is that bodybuilder diet thing. And I started that back in 1975, when I went to see Pumping Iron.
Love that. Yeah.
Love that movie. And that was our introduction to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
And I went to see it at the United Artists Theater in Pasadena. And... God, I thought, in typical Roth style, I said, I could do that. And I went and bought the book, Pumping Iron.
Yes, I saw it next to your toilet in Los Angeles. Still, 1975.
Well, I haven't finished it yet, obviously, because I still don't look like the guy on the... I don't look like the guy on the label
yet. But you're just going to keep reading it till you get there.
There
huh?
you go. I'm about halfway through. And... it didn't occur to me that those were professional bodybuilders who were working out twice a day, right? And they had were eating 2 full chickens a day. So I started doing that. And I kept that up for almost 4 months. I gained almost 15 pounds. And I started to actually look like the guy on the
label. You forgot to do the workout part, though.
Oh, right.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Siete sintonizzati direttamente con David Lee Roth. Che ne dici di un po' di fuoco, spaventapasseri? You're tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, scarecrow?
Play that guitar there, Brian. Swing it, baby. Yes. Roth Radio. 866-313-3733. See, when I smoke a cigarette, I feel like Tom Jones.
Is that where you went?
Are you are you a Tom Jones fan? You are.
Oh, my goodness,
it's not unusual. All those guys smoked cigarettes, right? Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis, Joey Bishop. All of those guys, that whole retinue. Everybody except Wayne Newton, see? So you got to read between the lines. You could wind up like Wayne Newton. Red roses.
Wayne Newton did okay for himself.
Wayne Newton owns his own helicopter.
Yeah.
Wayne Newton owns his own jet plane. Wayne Newton owns his own showroom. How much does Wayne Newton make?
I have no idea, but he did good.
Do you think if I didn't start smoking that I would look like Wayne Newton?
Keep up the cigarette smoking.
Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. What's going on with the cigarettes?
Actually, there's new research.
Speak to me.
According to new research, blacks are significantly more likely than other racial groups to develop lung cancer, even when they smoke the same amount of cigarettes as other groups.
That's a genetic disposition? That's just something that have, like, American Indians get drunker on the same drink?
I am sure. Blacks are twice as likely to develop lung cancer as whites and nearly five times as likely as Asians or Latinos.
I wonder why. Is that like a sickle cell kind of a thing? There's a disposition for that?
I would imagine. I was sitting here trying to figure it out. I
How successful are studies? Because, you know, you're talking about a group of people who are being marketed too heavy. And it's just not tobacco. It's breakfast cereal. It's bling. It's, come on, what were you marketed to the black community when you were a kid, Animal, specifically? What were the products that were aimed at your community specifically? Go.
It was basically, like you said, cigarettes was one of the
Oh, you know what? His microphone is fizzling out. Do you hear that? Mm-mm. It's totally fizzling here on me.
Oh,
I'm sorry, man. It's the gear here. You know that. You know the routine. Yeah. Go ahead,
well,
speak.
Pretty much, it was cigarettes and alcohol back in my day. And
what cigarettes specifically was it?
Campbell's. I remember the commercial. You can walk a mile for a Campbell. That was one of the biggest commercials. And then they came out with a cigarette called Tipperillos. It was like half cigar and half cigarette.
Tipperillos.
Tipperillos.
Oh, wait. A lady loves a man?
Something like that.
A lady loves a man that smokes a Tipperillo. Or no. Everybody loves a lady who smokes a Tipperillo.
I think
is that
like
what it was?
There was a reverse to it. That was the precursor to Virginia Slims.
Yeah.
You come a long way, baby.
And I don't think you can get them anymore, though. I hadn't seen any
Tipperillos?
I hadn't seen them.
Yeah, you're
years.
Right. They've been replaced by much more healthy blunts. But that was the... You know what? Women are getting a lot of... the lung cancer routine is skyrocketing because of women are being catered to. You know, you've come a long way, baby. You deserve...
Virginia Slims.
Sure. And more and more women are smoking as a way of standing out. You know, that's an empowerment issue. It's a validation issue. It's you're equal to me in
it's
the cancer
stress
war.
Issue.
I remember something else, too. I don't know if you remember this preacher from the 70s named Reverend Ike.
Reverend who? Ike?
Reverend Ike, yeah.
Oh, sure. Reverend Ike, who had the prayer rag. And you could buy the prayer rag. It was a little... Yeah. This
Ooh,
is like Kabbalah.
Man, David, he know everything. I was just getting ready to say about the prayer rag, man.
Sure.
He tricked all my family members to get one, man, you know.
Reverend Ike, stop. Yeah. Reverend Ike was a preacher. He had a shaved head, if I'm not mistaken.
Shaved head. He was big, too. He
was
small.
He was a black man with a great voice and a great presence, and he was on in the very early 60s. Yep. And he would sell you a prayer rag, very Kabbalah. Dig me now. Tell him what the prayer rag was.
Well, one that my uncle had, it was just like a piece of a handkerchief he just tore off and said a prayer on it and sent it to you for money. Because he would always say, loose my money. That was his thing. Send it to New York, New York, 2650. I remember that address.
And the more that you spent and sent, the better your life would go.
Yeah.
He said, because if you dedicate yourself to it, you would demonstrate your belief even more effectively.
Yeah. Go ahead. And his thing was like camels. Okay, going back to this ad right here about black people smoking, he said that they was putting something in the filter to kill blacks, so smoke cigarettes, don't smoke them with the butts.
I think that was Farrakhan that said that.
Farrakhan?
Farrakhan plagiarized.
They might have been buddies. Who knows?
Well, no. He's making a point here. Yeah. Does it mean the black community is more spiritual because they're the ones who bought all the prayer rags from Reverend Ike? And he sold millions of dollars worth of that stuff. And you could get different size ones. You could get the $5 rag. You could get the $20 rag. All the way up to the $500 rag. And the pitch was, you didn't believe. If you sent a dollar, you were a dollar's worth of belief.
Yep.
If you were a $5 believer, you stood five times much chance of getting through the gates of heaven unscathed.
Hey. My granddad had a big one, and his brother had a big one, and they could do some crazy stuff. I don't know how they did it. It was like my uncle would take a string and cut it in two, and then he would take the prayer cloth and rub it over it, stick it in his mouth, and he could chew it back together. I know it was a trick, because I didn't know.
I used to do the opposite of that with my girlfriend's G-string. You don't need Houdini for the explanation.
I knew it was a trick.
It was a trick. And so was Reverend Ike. And so was
con man.
And so was pitching all this kind of garbage to a specific community. Yep. And that's what we're talking about. Are people developing stuff because it's a genetic disposition or because cigarette companies are hyping to White Plains Boulevard? That's where I used to be EMT up there. That's a community that's absolutely ripe for all of this kind of nonsense. Breakfast cereal, cigarettes, soda pop. Lisa, you look expectant.
No, I have another idea, and that, well, it's not an idea, it's a fact. You have a whole socioeconomic element here as far as the black community goes. They are have been low on the totem pole socioeconomically, not as much health care, not as much attention to health care,
not as much
access to information.
So this is a cumulative arrival. We've arrived here because of the accumulation of all the nonsense that led up to it. This is not just an out-of-now occurrence, is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying it's not necessarily genetic. And it's not necessarily because of what's being marketed.
Oh, because we've been managing to poison our communities and our schools for so long that this is one of the ultimate results.
I'm saying that there's not enough money and education available to a whole group.
So what do you do about cigarettes? Is it okay to have these kinds of lounges? Because the effort here is to, they're saying, the effort here is to glamorize cigarettes. R.J. Reynolds is opening up Chicago Smoking Lounge. It's like a cigar lounge. I was at the, what's the name of the tobacco store? I forget for the second, but there's a cigar lounge down there, and they sell a lot of cigars, etc., you know, hand-rolled stuff, and it's, God, I can't remember. This escapes me. Turn on the mic and my brain goes flat. But there were all kinds of people in there. You know, you had investment brokers next to a truck driver, next to a police officer that I saw there, next to a fellow that was wearing at least $300 to $500 worth of something Italian. And that was just a cologne. My point being is that there was the full spectrum there at the smoking lounge. Should they not even have those? What's your thought?
You know, I don't see a problem with it. People are going to smoke, and I don't know. I hate to say that because you know I hate cigarettes. I hate the smell.
Yeah, well, that's
of them.
The trouble, because I smoke occasionally, and I hate the smell of it, too.
Yeah.
I would always ask for a smoke-free room because I can't stand the smell of a little Susie Rottencrotch's Virginia Slims that was in there the night before. Oh, it's horrible.
It is. You know I'm staying for the week at a lovely hotel, brand new. Brand new.
Don't get used to it.
Totally, totally non-smoking hotel.
And
last night, all night, my frickin' room smelled like cigarettes.
I've been in hospitals that do that. When I wound up in the hospital, I caught exhaustion, really. You remember, Brian, we were on the road a couple summers ago. Animal, you were there. Wound up in five different hospitals in almost eight different days. We were traveling in different places like Atlanta, Virginia, Tampa, Florida, everywhere, because I'd be coughing and hacking like a stripper on a Sunday morning, except it wasn't Sunday morning. You know, it was before the show. I was deathly ill, and that would happen every single night. When the lights went down and all the doctors and everybody went home, starting at about 8 o'clock, the nursing quarters, you know, and God bless them, the nurses put their whole heart and soul into this. Some of the hardest working people ever. And they, just like myself, they have a cigarette on their union break or whatever. And at the edge of every floor, the nurses would gather and the cigarette smoke would come rolling down there. And you would think that would be the one place that you wouldn't get it.
Yeah, I smell it in my hair this morning.
There you go. Coming from the hotel, right?
Yeah, someone sneaking a cigarette. You know the windows in those hotels open a crack.
That's
and
what I call
it. Probably cracked the window and sat next to it and was trying to blow smoke out of it.
It's those are what I call Menendez brothers windows. It's like when one of the Menendez brothers sits next to one of windows like that and goes, "Hey, Warden!"
But we used to take them out for you, didn't we, Dave?
What'd you say? I'm sorry?
Every time you got a room like that, we used to go take them out for you, remember? We used to take a screwdriver and take them out.
Oh, we had to remove the windows.
Yeah, remove the windows.
I think it's genetic.
Stuff.
It runs in our family. I cannot stand a room without windows that open.
Oh, it drives me nuts. That's been the big issue here in the studio here. I said, I will pay half my salary for a window that opens like for a Menendez brother. Just give me one of those little louvered things that opens 4 inches.
Yeah.
Oof, rough call. Anyways, we would take the windows out. We carried a toolkit with us.
Yep.
And the hotels, you know, a lot of places, you can't find anything but that, especially if you're checking in at 4 in the morning or whatever. So we would routinely do a little house engineering.
Yeah. Remember the time you couldn't find your baton? And I said, wait a minute, look at this shower, Dave. We took the shower rack down.
Oh, yeah.
Your baton and stuff.
This is urban camping, you know?
Yeah.
you got to know how to access a hotel room. Corey, talk to us about mass vending machines here. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. What kind of mass vending machines do you go to, Corey?
Well, I was watching some pretty cool show on Japan.
Yep.
And they had vending machines with women's lingerie, and further into the show, they had vending machines with sex toys.
Okay, was the lingerie chilled? I had a girl ask
me.
I had a girl, a pretty uptown girl, once upon a time, not too many summers ago, ask me if I could put a box of condoms in the freezer, and she said she would go home with me that night. We never did it. I maintained, you know, you would never know. By the time I delivered the goods, it would be body temperature. But you know. So do you think this is a healthy thing or is this an unhealthy thing? Corey, are you healthy?
Corey, how's your hearing?
Corey, is this?
Yeah, it's just my phone's crappy.
Okay, so do you think these kinds of vending machines are healthy? This is an acceptable issue? Is it okay to sell sex toys on the street corner? Because, go ahead, what do you think?
I don't think they should. I mean, I can understand condoms and stuff, but not sex toys.
Okay, but wait a minute. When I go home, I routinely drive past a thing on the corner. It's about 4 blocks south of where I am in the studio here, and it says Maserati. I found that to be one of the most effective sex toys to use on women ever. Speak to that, Corey.
I don't know.
Hey, you put a girl in a Maserati, shake her up at 60 miles an hour for roughly 3 Beatles songs, and you will cut your foreplay time in half. Corey, thank you so much for calling. God, this is so illuminating so early. Lise, you're incandescent, animal. You're hovering. Be young.
No.
You're gone ballistic. Roth Radio. No! We're off to our flying start.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
The voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet. People of Earth, attention. People of Earth, attention.
Willkommen zu David Lee Roth, Zen und der Kunst des zuletzt Lachens. Welcome to David Lee Roth, Zen and the Art of Laughing Last.
No! Hey, baby. It's not your day, is it, Hutch? David Lee Roth, 866-313-3733. Don't forget, it's 7:30 a.m. Well, at least 7:30 this morning, we're having Joey Buttafuoco give us a buzz. Also, 8:05, UFC fighter Randy Couture is giving us a call here. And at, I guess, about 8:30, I'll tell you who that is in a little bit. No, that's a little bit longer of an explanation here. Go ahead and turn the music up one time there. Swing on it. Get the guitar right. Lise, what do you think? Is it okay to have these vending machines on the corner selling Red Bull, selling Budweiser, Lucky Strikes, condoms, sex toys? Budweiser's kind of a sex toy. If you can get three in her, she'll feel it. No, I mean, you know, liquid. You know, it's, that sounded really wrong. But intentionally.
Yeah, it did.
It was intentional. Give me some volume here, Hush. Go ahead. You.
You mean that wasn't just a spontaneous comment?
No.
It was planned.
You think it's okay to have these vending machines and everything?
I think what you'll probably hear from is parents more than anybody regarding the sex toys. And I understand there's a vending machine that sells lingerie, things like that. Not a parent. I don't know what that feels
like. Is lingerie a sex toy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But is it an acceptable sex toy? Because that's advertised on television routinely. That's Victoria's Secret. That's in every Sears catalog now. It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
I used to, for my porno needs before I was even a teenager, I would go to the Sears catalog and look at the women in the brassieres and the girdles and everything.
Sure.
They must have updated now to Victoria's Secret. Everybody's tied into that,
oh, yeah.
Right?
All catalogs look like that now.
I'll tell you a funny story. Is working EMT shift down in Coney Island. We got a call from the projects, and I don't think I'm stepping on anybody's personal issues here.
Wait, take a moment and think about that.
No, no. We got a call for a gal. She was 88 years old, had been passed out on the floor in her apartment for several days. She was, like, very cold, whatever, but she was still with us. And the first thing you want to do is when you find somebody like that, you want to cut her clothes off and find out if there's any kind of wounds or injuries or, you know, she got, you know, stabbed or bumped into anything like that. And when we cut off her clothes, 88 years old, was like welfare, you know, was one of these gals who was living on the state or whatever. She had on a brand new ensemble pair of what I know to be, having given it as a gift, about $600 worth of Victoria's Secret underwear underneath that robe.
You go, Grandma. That's awesome.
What do you think? Did she buy it on her own, or did her granddaughter give it to her as a gift?
I think she was pissed you cut them.
Oh, we didn't. The two girls that I was working with, I had a paramedic with me and another EMT, and it was two women, and they insisted, no, we won't touch that.
A woman knows her lingerie.
There you go. So, you know, hope springs eternal. Hope Springs Eternal is not just the name of a stripper from Albuquerque. It's a tactic. It's a way to live.
It's true.
Anyways, I don't know if you should have sex toys. How do you draw the line on what a sex toy is? How do you draw the line on what a sex magazine is? Is it okay to sell Playboy on the corner in a vending machine?
What's the difference between that and one of those corner newsstands where they sell them?
Do they sell Playboy up around the front by the cash register and all of that? Or do they sell it in the back by, the more extreme magazines? I don't know.
Yeah, they sell them. You know, in California on Cahuenga and Hollywood Boulevard, that newsstand.
Yeah, but do they put it in plastic, too?
Yes, they put them in plastic.
Okay,
sure.
But it says Playboy, right?
Sure.
And everybody kind of knows that that's the classier element of sexy magazines. So you draw the line there and you say, no penthouse.
Oh, no, I don't draw the line there. They cover them. They put them all in plastic. It's not offensive when you walk by and see it. You just know enough to know by the title that that's what it is.
Okay. Would you be accepting if they put dildos and vibrators in bags that didn't show exactly what the shape is and put it in the vending machine next to, the soda pop?
I have to think about that. But, I mean, what's the difference between that and the pleasure chest, where you walk by and it's right next door?
Pleasure chest is usually isolated to some part of town that is a little more accepting, a little more liberal, a little more downtown to that kind of an approach, you know, to your lifestyle.
So you have to go seek it out. It's a little more of an effort.
Oh, you have to make a major effort, especially in places that are away from New York City or the inner city of Pittsburgh or whatever, because you have to drive. Here, you can basically walk to find whatever you want. That's the attraction of a...
Is it acceptable to you?
I don't know. I'm kind of inventing my answer as I'm walking through it with you here. I don't know. Don't they already sell vibrators by the cash registers at the Duane Reade, but they're listed actually as vibrators?
Yeah, massage vibrators for sore muscles.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a picture of usually a woman holding it to her neck, which for me has never worked. It's the last place I'm going to hold it to her. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. I guess it's marketing. I myself love marketing because I'm impervious to the machinations of all advertising. I just accept and become addicted right away. I know myself now enough to that point, okay? But what about the young and impressionable who still have a chance at their life, Lise?
You know what? I'm like you. I'm walking my way through this because I haven't seen it yet. I haven't experienced it. I haven't had to form an opinion.
What about these smoking lounges? Because if R.J. Reynolds does it on traditional R.J. Reynolds size Napoleonic scale, then they're going to have smoking lounges in virtually every neighborhood that is appealing. You know, down the downtown it's going to be. It's going to be over on the West Village, East Village. It's going to be, you know, you're going to see it.
Well, selfishly, I feel like I'm glad that it exists, so go smoke your cigarettes there and not in the hotel room above my non-smoking hotel room. However,
you have a little personal issue with this, don't you?
Yeah, because I was pissed last night.
You do derision really well.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here and smelling it in my hair this morning. But you are a cigar smoker. You love cigars.
You've
attended cigar lounges.
Yeah, many times.
You enjoy that.
It's the whole ritual as well. There's a ritual that's implicated with that, especially if you know the history of cigar making and where they come from and how they're made and what to taste for. It's like wine.
What about the socializing aspect?
Absolutely. Cigar smokers are much more fun than cigarette smokers. No, think about it. All your greatest adventurers smoke cigars, all your biggest politicians smoke cigars, and all your best comedians smoked cigars. There's a like-minded thread that wanders through that. When you celebrate something, you smoke a cigar, unless you have a little girl and you give them a box of donuts. Just checking to see if you're awake. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Yep.
You enjoy these cigar lounges. Does that...
Not so much, no. The cigar lounge is not so much. The actual sitting of a cigar, you prepare it a certain way, and you have to slow down. Nobody smokes a cigar walking. Okay, perhaps Winston Churchill did, but he was one of those, like McDonald's calls it, a heavy user. He used to smoke almost two whole boxes a day, almost 40 cigars. Wow. Oh, yeah. And this is part of the reason that I bring up, you know, I say it funny, but I mean it smart, is that could the Industrial Revolution, could any of my favorite novels, could any of my favorite paintings occurred in a smoke-free environment? Sigmund Freud smoked two boxes of cigars a day. And that's back in the day when Cuban cigars were like three parts nuclear waste. What you're getting today is not aged hardly at all compared to what it used to be. Aging a cigar is like wine. Longer you let it set, the richer it gets, sweeter and smoother it becomes, and the higher the nicotine content. Oh, that's a super fine stimulant, okay? That's rocket fuel. And Sigmund Freud smoked 40 of those a day. Look what he accomplished. Mark Twain, two boxes of cigars a day, 40 of those a day. Sat down, wrote arguably the great American novel Huckleberry Finn in basically one sitting. You want me to continue?
Well, I'm just picturing Sigmund Freud smoking. I think the shape of that cigar had something to do with the philosophy he came up with.
It could have been. And you need to get your mind out of your Speedos long enough to take a call. That's my sister, Lisa Roth. At least for now. 866-313-3733.
What? I was trying to make a connection. I don't know if you noticed my effort. Between
When you put your fingers that small, it has nothing to do with me. You better look at Animal when you make that sign, baby. What's the connection?
The connection between the cigar lounges and the cigarette lounges. You're asking me what I think of them. I'm trying to get your take on
it. It's a mutual activity. It's the same as, people do knitting these days, crochet. How many people have signed up for quilting? We see this on CNN, you know, periodically. It's a reason to sit in a circle and have something mutual that you do. It's the same reason you play Monopoly. Does anybody really care about winning a building on Boardwalk? No. It's the folks that you were sitting with. It's the moment that you're doing something mutual, the same in and of your own variation. One guy takes the dice and blows on him. Boom, throws it down. Somebody else takes one in one hand, one in the other, and throws them at the same time in tandem. Boom. Somebody else takes them, throws them, and says, baby, blow on my dice. Hands them to the nearest pretty girl, and she blows on the dice. You do it all in your own variation, but everybody's playing the game. Yeah?
Yeah, and you're someone that says your one regret in life, you said it this morning, is you started smoking.
Yeah.
So when you hear about these cigarette lounges, everything you described is so sexy and so attractive, and it's all the positives. What do you think of these cigarette lounges?
I think it's probably the last stop out for the generation like myself, and it's a place that you can go and do that, but I don't know that I want to go share it with strangers. you have a place that is full of real strangers. And, okay, yeah, we all share the commonality of, okay, we all smoke Lucky Strikes. Or we have, but how many times have you sat down in an airport lounge and felt that you were amongst friends? Yeah, me too. Roth Radio, you are amongst friends. You're in no immediate danger.
David Lee Roth, mornings.